Sounds like it's rattling. There you go, you hit the right spot. We had a contraption on the farm on Friday that was not working. I was getting really frustrated, so I took my fist and went, and ever since it's been working. So if I stop talking, somebody come up with a... Last Sunday, Scott spoke from the 20th chapter of Luke. I want to clue you in that the elders really can count. So this should be chapter 22, but because I won't be here next Sunday, I swap with Mike, and I'm doing 22, and he'll do 21. So if you're looking at the sequence of the Holy Week, don't let this mess you up. We're going to, if you want to, some people like to have an open Bible in their laps, so open up to Luke 22. We're going to have three readers this morning share with us verses. Matt's going to be the first reader, starting at verse, what, Matt, 38 or 9? Okay, and then Seth will read, and then Justin. Let me give you a heads up. We know from this scripture the roosters can hear. We trained this rooster when he hears three denials of Jesus to crow, so be ready.
Luke 22:39-46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike them with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Jesus answered, "No more of this." Then he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him, "I am leading a rebellion that you have to come with clubs and swords. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns."
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, and when there was had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Thank you, readers. But prayer this morning is, and as always, I think when an elder shares, is that within our words, you would hear the words of God. You would hear the Holy Spirit speaking. Within the message, you'd hear God's voice. When I read Luke 22 about a month back, the things that just leaped out at me in that chapter was that, and Satan entered Judas, and later on where Satan was to sift Peter, I thought that it just caught my attention. So some of my sharing is around that, but it's also about, I titled our time together here, "Before the Rooster Crows." There are a lot of sounds in life that we don't hear very much anymore. When I was in Africa two years back, my roommate was from Chicago, and we were awakened every morning by a rooster. That was the alarm clock in Lafayette. It was a rural setting. Being from Chicago, it was a rare sound to Dan. You don't hear, roosters don't belong in cities. They're in the country. That's where they live. So Dan was more familiar of hearing things like sirens, airplanes roaring across that great city, trucks, buses, loud music, gunshots, but hardly ever a rooster. Roosters really don't belong in Chicago or don't belong in any city. They're out in the country, and they announce really that a new day is coming. Think about that, a new day is coming, as the roosters share about. Somebody asked this morning, there's a female chicken, which is a hen, Emily knows this. There's a male rooster that's a rooster, and there's an it rooster. There's an it chicken. You know what that's called? Ah, yeah, this brings to mind something. Scott and I are first cousins, and Scott came to visit me when he was, I think, 9 or 10 years old, and I took him out to the chicken house. I was early 20s, and Scott's found in this house of 300 chickens, one bird that had a big comb. And Scott asked me at 9 or 10, what is that over there? And I told Scott that it was a rooster. And he said, well, what do roosters do? Scott, I just remember this as plain as day. That is not the, that was extra. It's not part of my message. An it rooster is a coupon. A coupon, not a cue, a coupon. Really? That's kind of a thing of the past. That was a big deal when I was a kid. Coupons are de-sexed roosters, and they grow, their meat is very tender. Capon, I did say it wrong, yeah. Coupon, capon, it's a capon. Well, back to our lesson. Peter knew all about roosters. Peter, the disciple of Jesus. He grew up in rural area of Galilee, and I think a rooster crowing to him was as familiar to him as an alarm clock or a radio going off for us today. Like each morning we hear on our clock radio, or at least this implies, wake up, get up, it's a new day. A new day is beginning. So the story that I'm going to share with you that we just read about from Luke 22 is a story that's 2,000 years old. It's recorded in all four Gospels. And we love the story because I think to some degree we understand the story because we see ourselves in this story very almost too much. It's real and it's personal, and it's Peter is kind of like me. Peter is kind of like you. We're going to get into some areas this morning that could be pretty black and white, so hold on. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today as we share and glean from this lesson about Peter, those things that I think the Lord would have us learn. So it was late on a Thursday night in Jerusalem, our scripture picks up on. It strikes me that the Bible spends so much time in this Holy Week. I mean, this whole chapter happens within, I don't know, maybe 24-hour period. And most of the chapter is about what happens in the middle of the night. So that's where our story begins today. It's on Thursday night in Jerusalem. Jesus had just been arrested and taken away to the house of the high priest. Most of the disciples were nowhere to be found. But Peter decided to follow the soldiers that led Jesus away. He promised to never desert Jesus, and he wasn't going to start and do that now. So he's going to follow them. It was probably early April, a little bit like our season. Temperatures were so that people were warming themselves by a fire. Peter thinks it should be safe to go through the gate entering the courtyard. No one there knows who he is, at least that's what he thinks. A servant girl said, "You were with that Nazarene, Jesus." Someone had connected him with Jesus, but Peter, he acted dumb. He played dumb. "I don't know what you're talking about." It worked. At least Peter thought it worked. A second girl, "You know, this Peter, he's one of them." This is a Haldeman paraphrase of Luke. Peter said, "I don't know that man." And Peter could tell that the girl didn't believe him. It was something about the way he talked or something about just his facial expressions that kind of gave him away. So, You know, talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's Peter in this situation. Peter was trapped. Peter was kind of backed into a corner. Didn't I see you with that man in the Olive Garden? And again, Peter said, I don't know him. Why don't you leave me alone? May God strike me dead if I have ever heard of that man, Jesus. Now, those are kind words from what I'm reading from some of the commentaries. Peter actually used slang language. I think we need to stop here in this story and look at Peter. What do we know about Peter from from Scripture? Well, Jesus called Peter as one of his 12 disciples. In John 1, Jesus sees Simon and renames him Peter, the rock. And Peter takes a lot of risk, and we remember these. Peter walks on water. Peter had a mouth, a big one that worked for Jesus and one that worked against Jesus, actually. Peter said Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. And then almost in the same breath, Peter steps in front of Jesus and tells him he can't die, our scripture says. So you see, Peter is very impulsive, I think he even says it before he thinks it. No, I always think of Peter as one who puts his mouth in gear before his brain, anyway. No. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter's mouth opened again, and he denied Jesus not one time, and not two times, but three times. In verse 24 of this 22nd chapter of Luke, now there was also a dispute among the disciples as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Can you imagine that the disciples would be jockeying for position and power at this time in Jesus' life? Here was Jesus' greatest hour of need, and the disciples were thinking about themselves. We can almost guess who brought on this dispute. Simon Peter had the most dominating personality of all the 12 disciples, and usually was the one who spoke up first. He may have been quick to remind others how he had been the only one to walk on water. See, Glenn, you can't walk on water. I got you. Or he had been the first one who had a revelation of who Jesus really was. Peter was not building with the materials necessary for the kingdom of God, but with the supplies such as a strong will and a personal confidence. The pride opened the door for the enemy to come in. Jesus said, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Anybody ever sift grain here? You know what we're talking about? Yeah. How does that apply to Peter? Why would God sift him? We're going to talk about some things that I think were sifted from Peter. Now, some in the church would say today, let's pray for this guy, Peter, and bind the attack of the devil. We're not going to let Satan do this one to our beloved Peter. But Jesus prayed differently. Notice how Jesus prayed in your Bible. That Satan's faith would not fail, and that out of this trial would come a new character. Satan wanted to shake Peter so that he would lose his faith, but God had a different purpose for the shaking. God is way ahead of the devil, by the way, you know that. Simon's attitude rooted in selfishness or pride would be purged in this sifting. In Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23, looking at another gospel, Jesus was talking to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must be killed, and that he will raise again the third day. And Peter rebukes Jesus. Now, we don't use the word rebuke in our modern day English. Maybe a better word would be, criticize, or maybe reprimand would be another word that we could use. So Peter reprimands Jesus, never, Lord. And then Jesus turns around and reprimands Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, Jesus had some very colorful language for the Pharisees, but he never called any one of the Pharisees Satan. Did you ever think about this before? This is kind of a new thing for me. John Bevere says in his book, when God's scripture kind of explodes things in your spirit, you need to pay attention to that. This kind of exploded my spirit. When Jesus called Simon Peter Satan, I never really thought about him calling him Satan, but you can certainly take that from these verses. Peter still only remains the only person that Jesus called Satan. What was Peter's thinking when he pulled Jesus aside? and criticized him or reprimanded him. I don't think it's a good idea to go around reprimanding the Son of God. Let me say, first of all, that's my humble opinion. But because Peter really loved Jesus and wanted to spare him the pain of crucifixion, I think that's why he rebuked him. That's why he reprimanded him. And I think maybe at this point, Peter didn't understand God's plan. For Peter, his view of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, did not include the horror of public crucifixion. How could someone as good and as holy and as pure and as righteous as Jesus suffer and die, was Peter's thinking. Another idea, Peter wanted a kingdom without a cross. And today we wear bright, some of our jewelry, some of our whatever we wear in our body are crosses that are bright and shiny. That's very opposite the way Jews thought about a cross. To the Jews, the cross meant brutal, public, bloody, painful, agonizing death. Maybe a more accurate picture for us today would be the gas chambers at Auschwitz. When we were in Jerusalem, we went to the Holocaust. Man, I wish we had not gone there. What impressions that left. And so to think about that setting, or maybe another setting for us to compare to the crucifixion would be a man in an electric chair. I've never seen that. I don't want to see that. So no wonder Peter rebuked Jesus. No wonder Peter reprimanded Christ. First, Jesus calls Peter the rock. And then later on, he calls him Satan. Why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Maybe some of the wonderful things that Jesus said to Peter, this is kind of just my own logic, went to Peter's head, like Peter was feeling his wild oats, or feeling his oats a little bit. After all, he is the rock, and he is the one to whom Christ gave the keys to the king. Well, not really. Christ gave the keys to all the apostles, but Peter would think that he would be the favorite one in that. Maybe Peter had the idea of, what's the expression of use? Iron sharpening iron, one man helping another man. Hey, way to go, Peter. Could be. But Jesus knows all things. Jesus knew that Satan was behind Peter's words. Now, Satan's plans for Jesus always avoided the cross. In the wilderness, Satan had taken Jesus to a high mountain, offering him all the kingdoms of the world if only he, Jesus, would bow down and worship him. Remember that. Satan was saying, why go through the pain of the cross, Jesus? Just worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Peter was attempting to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Another idea. Jesus knew he must go to the cross in order to provide salvation. Jesus said, and I shared this before, he must go to Jerusalem. This is in Matthew 16. He must suffer. Jesus used the word must. He must suffer. He must die. He must rise from the dead. Peterson in the Message says it this way. Jesus didn't swerve. I like that. Jesus did not swerve. Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works. Let's get back to our story from Luke 22. What got into Peter that he would deny knowing Jesus? Well, Peter was scared, and Peter was tired, and Peter was lonely. Peter's point of view saw Jesus' case as hopeless. The chief priests had him, and he would not let him go until he was dead. He never expected to be questioned by a servant girl. I mean, that was, I could see Peter coming before the high priest and saying, yeah, I'm not denying, I know this Jesus. But a servant girl testing him? Come on. That was a surprise to Peter. Actually, she caught him off guard, and he lied. He lied about knowing Jesus. He set himself up for a long string of bad decisions. Like, let's look back a little bit from this time. At the Last Supper, when Jesus said that all of his disciples would desert him, Peter blurted out, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. I think Peter talked then when he should have been listening. That's so typical of Peter. And another idea is as to why Jesus denied Jesus is that Peter denied Jesus, that he ignored Jesus' warning. Peter, were you listening? Another one is that he followed way too far off from Jesus when he went to the high priest's court. He followed Jesus, yes, but at a distance. And another idea is that Peter warmed himself at the wrong fire. Think about that. Peter warmed himself at the wrong fire. While he was in the company of the enemies of the Lord, being with those who had arrested Jesus, not a good place to be. He placed himself in a position where he would be exposed. He warmed himself by the wrong fire until things got too hot for him, verbally and otherwise. I think Peter himself set himself up for a fall. He tried to deceive, but others never really believed him. They sensed he was lying or something because of the tone of his voice or because of the uncertainty of the way he shared things. Peter fooled only himself, actually. And as Peter the Rock at this point had crumbled, Peter the Rock had crumbled. Matthew Henry, a Bible scholar that sometimes I go to for his commentary, writing over 300 years ago, divided this story into two parts, Peter's fall and Peter's getting up. I like that, Peter's getting up. Let's look at Peter's getting up part of the story. The Gospels are unanimous on this one point, that the rooster crowed at exact moment of Peter's third denial. Do you know roosters can listen so well? This guy's sleeping, but anyway, no. Suddenly it all became clear to Peter how cocky he had been prior to the rooster's crowing, how confident of his own strength, how sure of his own abilities. The rooster announced that a new day has come, Peter, a new day has come. And then the look of Jesus. I didn't catch this in scripture until just a couple days ago. In Luke 22, verse 61, Luke has the details that other gospels miss or do not share. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Now, this was in the middle of the night. It might be 1 a.m. in the morning. Jesus doesn't say a word, but it was a convicting look of Jesus, or from Jesus to Peter. You said you do not know me, is the words that you can interpret this convicting look to say. Look at me. Do you not know me? Peter said to Jesus, or Jesus said to Peter. I often use the phrase, don't look at me in that tone of a voice. And I think that fits here. Don't look at me in that tone of a voice. The words at this moment, the words of Jesus flashed through Peter's mind. He remembered, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. The memory of that brought Peter back to God. And then Peter's tears. They are a sign of deep repentance. The message again in Luke 22, verse 62 says, he went out and cried and cried and cried. Now put that alongside Judas that Satan also entered. Judas cried. What's the difference in the crying? Good question. Peter had tears that were a sign, I think, of his broken heart because of his sin. In the end, it was not Peter's faith that failed, but his courage. Jesus had told Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail, from 32nd chapter of Luke 22. So Jesus' prayer was answered. Here's the good news for us. This story is not as much about Peter as it is about Jesus, really. I just wanted to come at it from Peter's vantage point. Jesus never gave up on Peter. Jesus not only forgave Peter, but he restored him. He knew about Peter's denial long before it happened. Jesus knew the kind of man Peter would be afterward. There's a very important principle at work here. And that is that a bone that is broken often becomes stronger after it's healed. A bone that is broken often becomes stronger upon its healing. Something in the healing makes that break point stronger. Peter is proof of this principle. He did more for Jesus after his fall than he did before his fall. Sifted from Peter was his vanity, his rash impulsiveness, his unreliability, any hard attitude that was rooted in selfishness and pride was sifted. The things that Peter lost, he didn't really need. And the things that he gained couldn't have come any other way. Let me close with a few challenges. We can one moment be praising God and the next saying some foolish, unkind, critical remark that would be better left unsaid. Experience that this week. We can quote scripture and in almost next sentence we're gossiping. Is this Peter-like? We can testify for Jesus and then play fool in almost the same breath. Though we fall again and again, it is the getting up that makes us the true child of God. Aren't you glad Peter kept getting up? Aren't you glad Jesus helped Peter to get up? The mighty Christ comes and sets us upright again. This story is for me, and this story is for people like me. Maybe it's you. Maybe you gave way under pressure this week. Think about your week. Maybe you carried a load of guilt from some thoughtless words spoken in haste. Maybe you denied the Lord by keeping quiet at work when you should have spoken up. Oh. Maybe you used vile language this week, even if that language is on your breath and wasn't spoken. Maybe you did that. Maybe you have been seen where you ought not to have been. Maybe you find yourself in a relationship you know is wrong. And one final point. Where did this story about Peter come from? Think about this. How did it get into the Bible? Think about this. It could have only come from Peter. No one else was there to tell what happened in detail like it's given in the Bible. Now, I would not have done that. Because we hide our mistakes so that nobody else will know them. I do. In Acts 2, Peter boldly preaches the gospel. To some of the very people who crucified the Lord, 3,000 were saved in one day. Peter is stronger afterwards than he was before. Peter came to see the cross as an absolute necessity. What a change in Peter. The principle of a bone that's broken and healed is stronger than before. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the cross, and this story is about you, Jesus, and we thank you for your love for us. You come and take us where we're broken, and you make us stronger than before. Help us to recognize that, and help us to recognize your power in our lives. So go with us this day and throughout this new week. Keep guiding our lives, and may we totally depend on you for the choices we need to make. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.